Now that's what I'm talking about, Jeremy. That is what I'm talking about. It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I'm Lon Tay. He is Jeremy Warner.
We're taking care of business.
Yes, we are. All day, right? 3 to 6. You got us all day. We got the Cardinal game out of the way. Cardinals won. So and those Braves ended up winning, too.
Yeah.
Did anybody get the memo to them that they're supposed to lose?
Yeah, 14 games left. Ugh. 4.5 to make up. We'll see if they can do it.
Well, at least we got the Phillies on the schedule. They're easy to beat. Yeah, right. All right, but we're talking not baseball. Right now we're talking Illini football, but more specifically the opponent this week. That's Arizona State. And Tim Healy, who does the play-by-play for Arizona State, joins us live. Tim, I am a huge Arizona Cardinals fan, and Fred Wakefield comes on our show quite a bit. He lives here in Champaign, of course, played for the Cardinals. He has yet to get me Jake Plummer's autograph. Tim, can you take care of that for me?
Well, I still have an issue with Jake. Well, actually, he overtipped my daughter when she waited on him at a restaurant when he was in training camp one year. So I think in deference to Jake, I better let him give you that number himself.
Okay.
But what a great player he was. And without question, in the 30 years or close to 30 years I've been out here, the most magical season of Arizona State football was the 1996 run to the Rose Bowl.
Right.
In my opinion, Jake Plummer should have won the Heisman Trophy that year because he was clearly the best player in college football. Danny Werfel ended up winning. I think Jake ended up finishing third in the balloting, the highest by any Sun Devil. But I watched every game. I wasn't doing the radio then. I started the radio in 1998, but there wasn't a better player in the country than Jake Plummer was in 1996, and what a great season that was. And certainly the Sun Devils in 2011 harbor some hopes of having a season like that, and this game at Illinois on Saturday is going to be a big test and a big hurdle to get over in their quest to do that. So that's one of the many storylines that I would attach to the game this Saturday.
And Tim, before we get nitty gritty on that, because I know Jeremy's chomping at the bit to start asking questions about that game, one other name I thought of in Arizona State lore is Pat Tillman. It's amazing how he's respected everywhere, but how respected is he amongst the Sun Devil fans?
Well, it's off the charts. It goes off the charts because he was a Sun Devil legend and hero before he became a national hero for what he did in service to his country. He was just a great player here, an undersized linebacker who ended up being the Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Year in his senior year at 1997 at Arizona State, a seventh-round draft pick of the Arizona Cardinals who ended up making the team and ended up starting for the Cardinals, and you know the story that he had gotten a huge offer to re-sign with the Cardinals. The St. Louis Rams, I think, made a play to sign him as a free agent. The Cardinals were all set to offer him, a multi-million dollar contract to come back, and he bypassed all that to go serve his country. And he's a hero nationwide, right. but the respect with which he's held here is absolutely off the charts. Every April, in mid-April, they have an event called Pat's Run, which is a 4.2 mile in honor of his Arizona State uniform number 42, a 4.2 mile run walk, and that thing just year in and year out, and now it's been, what, over 7 years since Pat was killed in Afghanistan, and I think they had something like 30,000 runners from all over the country that came and took part in Pat's run this past April, and the event just continues to grow as we get further away from his death. The popularity of the event that commemorates him just continues to grow, and my son Joe, who is a graduate of Arizona State, does some volunteer work for the Tillman Foundation because Pat was his hero, and certainly I couldn't think of a better person for my son to honor and idolize than Pat Tillman.
That's the voice of Tim Healy, play-by-play man for Arizona State. Moving on to the program now, Tim. ASU, kind of, I've been looking at their records over the past years, a lot like Illinois, up and down, up and down. You talked about that 98 season. They had a big year in 07. The same year, Illinois went to the Rose Bowl, and since then, they've all gone kind of down. Now both programs seem like they're going back up, so it seems like this is a bigger game because of that. For each program, you know, this might be their chance to kind of get back up to that high tier that they want to be at.
Yeah, I think that's one of the storylines of this game. I think the winner of this game, both these teams entered, I think, on the cusp of having potentially outstanding seasons, and I think the winner of this game is going to get like a little jolt of energy to proceed along the path that will ensue in this 2011 season. I certainly don't think that the loser of this game will say, oops, it's over, we're done. By any stretch of the imagination, but I do think the winner is going to get an extra boost of energy to proceed along with its schedule. And, you know, from an Illinois standpoint, I look at their schedule, and my goodness, what a favorable schedule it is. They have 8 home games. I look at the 4 road games they've got, and by all indications, they are very winnable road games.
Yes.
I'm a Penn State graduate, and I'm ashamed to say this, but I think the Penn State game, October 29th, for you guys, is highly winnable right now for the second straight year in a row, going in there and potentially beating my Nittany Lions. But your schedule is tremendously favorable. From an Arizona State perspective, if the Sun Devils can get by Illinois, they have challenging games, but the next 2 weeks they're at home to play USC and Oregon State in their first 2 Pac-12 games, and then they have 2 tough road games at Utah and at Oregon. But certainly if they can get off to a 3-0 start, I think they would continue to gain in confidence and momentum. So yeah, this is I guess you could call it kind of a springboard game for the winner of this contest coming up on Saturday. I think Illinois is anxious to see how it does against a big-time opponent after playing Arkansas State and South Dakota State in their first 2 games. And conversely, from a Sun Devil standpoint, they're anxious to see how they can fare on the road after having won 2 games at home and that thrilling win over Missouri last Friday night, which was ASU's first win over a ranked opponent since 2007. So lots of storylines attached to this game coming up.
Yeah, Tim, and I was talking to Illinois defense coordinator Vic Koning today, and he coached against Dennis Erickson a long time ago, about 10 years ago, when he was the defensive backs coach at Memphis and Dennis was at Miami, and he said, well, they passed it about 86 out of the 93 times, and we've heard a lot about ASU's passing game. Of course, a lot of talk about the height of Brock Osweiler, the 6'8 quarterback for the Sun Devils, but how does this offense operate? Is it all about that passing game kind of setting up the run?
Well, they want to run the ball too. Their lead back, Cameron Marshall, I think he had about 23 or 24 carries in the game against Missouri the other night. They weren't great at running the ball, but they got enough push in the running game to make Missouri honor and respect it. Noel Mazzoni, their highly thought of coordinator, it was Philip Rivers' position coach in college. He coached at Auburn. Noel's been one of the outstanding offensive minds in college football, and is now in his second year here at Arizona State. It is a pass-oriented offense, but they certainly do not ignore the running game. They want to be able to run the football, and they feel like they've got one of the better backs in the Pac-12 in Cameron Marshall, a junior, to do that. But certainly the passing game has been the calling card of this offense the last couple of years. Arizona State last year ranked among the nation's top 15 in passing offense, and they're 14th nationally this week with 344 yards per game through the air. And I think Brock Osweiler, if he stays healthy, is going to have an outstanding season. He is just such a talented player. Even though this will only be his 5th career start this Saturday night at Illinois, he's got an it factor about him. He's not only a talented player, at 6'8", he could have gone to Gonzaga on a basketball scholarship out of Kalispell, Montana, his hometown, but elected to come to Arizona State to play football. And he's mobile for a big fella. He's got a terrific arm. He knows this offense, and he's a leader. His team rallies around him. He's one of the team captains, and boy, oh boy, he's a great kid. He's very articulate, good-looking young man. He's just the kind of guy that a college football team wants to have as the face of its program. And from what I understand, it sounds like in those characteristics, he is very similar to your guy in Nathan Shielhouse. So I think we're going to see two really, really good quarterbacks dueling on Saturday.
It's going to be interesting how Illinois secondary hasn't been tested a lot, kind of handles a Pac-12 offense like that with a quarterback like that. Wrapping up a couple more minutes with Tim Healy, play-by-play man for Arizona State. Looking on the other side of the football, it all starts with Vontaze Burfict. We've heard a lot about him, a violent player, hits hard. But we've also heard a lot about those defensive ends, really athletic bunch. Just talk a little bit about that defense and how, you know, they put fear in some opponents sometimes.
Well, they're coming off a very disappointing game against Missouri as they allowed over 500 yards to the Tigers, and the Sun Devils tackled very poorly in that ball game, a big reason why they gave up 500 yards. They just couldn't get guys wrapped up, and it led to some big gains for Mizzou in that ball game. The Sun Devils really need to step up the level of their play defensively this week against one of the top running teams in the country if they're going to have a chance to win this ball game. But you mentioned Vontaze Burfict, without question, probably the most talented linebacker in the country. But Vontaze did not have one of his better games against Missouri, and he's looking to bounce back, I think. He did have three sacks in the season opener against UC Davis and had another one last week, but did not have one of his better games. But another guy to watch out for is a kid named Junior Onyeali. Wears number 5. He's a defensive end, an undersized defensive end, and yet he was the Pac-10 Defensive Freshman of the Year last year. 6.5 sacks, 11.5 tackles for loss. Just has a knack of getting to the quarterback. And probably the Sun Devils' best defensive player right now is their weak side linebacker, Colin Parker, number 21. Parker is from the Phoenix area. His dad, Anthony, was an outstanding player at Arizona State and had a nice NFL career. I think he played for the Rams for a while. But Colin had some major injury issues in high school, but he has really come on the last 2 years. And last week against Mizzou, he had 11 tackles, and 10 of them were solos. So Colin is one of the guys that was able to get guys wrapped up and put down defensively. But it's a defense that 2 years ago, even in the midst of a 4-8 season, was the 13th best in the country. They fell off that status a little bit last year and had a very disappointing performance last week. But it's a defense that has some talented players, and it's a defense that is fast and flies to the football. And I know they're looking for a bounce-back performance. As happy as the team was with the win, I think the defense kind of took it personally that they did not really play well against Mizzou. And I know they'll be looking to bounce back, and they need to because of the way Illinois runs the football. The defense has to show up if the Sun Devils are going to have a chance in this game.
Tim, final question for the for us here at the Tay and Jay Show. Pac-10, now the Pac-12. This thing might be the Pac-16 in a few months. I mean, I guess your view of all this expansion of college football, it's directly affecting you guys out in Arizona.
Yeah, it's probably going to end up being the Pac-48 or something somewhere down the road. I don't like it. I'm happy with it as it is. I think Colorado and Utah are two good additions to the league, and my own personal thought is let's keep it just this. It's just a good size now. You got two six-team divisions. A lot of excitement about the first ever Pac-12 championship game coming up in early December. Let's keep it like this. Obviously a lot of fans would say that those feelings are generated in part because if teams like Oklahoma and Texas come into this league, they're going to dominate athletically, especially in football, and that may well be the case. But there are other factors too, like travel and logistics and things like that. I wish that we could stay in a day where the conferences were more regionally based, and this would be a Western West Coast conference instead of one that would encompass literally half the country.
Good point. Tim Healy, he's the play-by-play man for Arizona State. Very kind of you, Tim, to join us here on the Tay and Jay Show. We appreciate it a bunch. Be careful getting out here, and we look forward to seeing you Saturday.
All right, fellas. Thanks.
Thank you. That is Tim Healy again. He does the play-by-play for the Sun Devils And, you know, he speaks highly of Illinois.
Yeah.
And it's interesting when, you know, because we've talked a lot about this Vontaze Burfict. But he says, you know, there's a couple other guys you need to pay attention to.
Well, yeah, and I've heard all about that defensive end, Onyelu. I'm probably not saying it right. I mean, it's a tough one to say, but number five.
Junior Onyelu, yeah, he said it.
And the coaches have been talking about him as well. Of course, Burfict, a big-time hitter. But the coaches have been talking about it. They go for the kill hit. I mean, they try to hit you hard, but sometimes they forget to wrap up. They just try and hit you with that shoulder. And sometimes, you know, if you can bounce off that or, do a spin move off that, that might be some big plays for Illinois in this game. So, yeah, they got some hard hitters, but that pass rushing, it's going to be interesting. Can a guy like Michael Heights, a guy that's in his first year starting, this is going to be his third collegiate game. If he's going against number five, if he's going against that weak side linebacker blitzing off the end, how do those guys kind of handle that?
We're going to talk more about Illinois and kind of how they'll hopefully attack Arizona State later in the show, but it is amazing how similar these two programs are. Yeah. And like he said, I don't think whoever loses this game, it's going to be a huge loss, but whoever wins, I think it's going to be a nice little push forward. It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.